Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Vassar Nation. This week, we are talking to Romeo. He just left the beach with Kira. We got to find out what was the story with that, right, Mike?
So many questions. I want to know.
Yes, the people want to know, so we're definitely going to get into that. You know, he started off the season of Paradise with one of the craziest love triangles that we've seen with Jill and Kira, and we just want to get his side of the story on that and see the aftermath after leaving with Kira. We gotta know what's up.
But first,
man, we gotta get into our hot takes. We had a big time shakeup on the beach this week.
Yes.
Pretty much all the women got sent away, as you could see on the first episode of the week. They were not happy. There was a lot of tears being shed. The guys didn't know what to think because they got introduced to a batch of five new women, you know, that are eager to find love. So that shook things up. But before they knew it, the girls that actually left were introduced to five new guys as well. So, you know, it's a lot to take in. But I just got to give a shout out to my guy, Alex Bordy. He was on my season. Probably one of the best looking dudes that I've ever seen in my life. Shout out to Alex. The dude went to my wedding. I'm not even going to lie, bro. Like, the women at the wedding from the wedding party were going absolutely nuts. They were like, who is this Greek statue of a man? Just chilling in the pool. Like, everybody wanted to get to know him. And it just got me thinking, as far as I can imagine, like, he is universally loved by all the women.
He has to be
out there in Bachelor Nation.
Has to be.
What do you think? Like, who do you think are some of the best looking guys that we have, that Bachelor Nation has to offer?
First off, you know how hot you have to be for us to scrap a hot take just to have a debate on the top five best looking guys in Bachelor Nation because of you, Alex. Like,
two dudes talking about, you know, good looking guys.
That's how
we're okay. We're comfortable.
In our sexuality. See, ain't nothing wrong with it. Just showing love to a fellow male.
We give respect where it's due.
So are we doing like five guys from the Bachelor Nation, no particular order?
Yeah, I mean, listen. Of course, I would have you at number one, Mike.
But
let's take ourselves off the list. Sorry, ladies. You know, I'm taking Mike. You know, you're on the podcast, so you can't be allowed to be in on this list. So we got to go with other guys in the nation.
I like that.
I chose Alex. Alex is a good looking dude.
He's in your top. So if we're talking about like basketball, top five starters, right?
Yes,
Alex will be in my list. I mean, obviously, we're creating an entire segment for Alex Bordy. That dude is winning.
And ladies,
and this is without his shirt off.
Yes.
This is without taking his shirt off. Oh my God, different story.
Ladies and men out there, feel free to chime in the comments once this, this episode comes out, and give us your selection of men.
I can't wait to hear what the listeners say in their top five list. It's going to be so fun. I have to agree with you. Alex is 100% going on the list. I think, though, for my list, you know, I feel like we're at the playground. You picking your top five team or your five players. I'm going to put Dale Moss.
Dale Moss, yes. He is a model.
He's an actual model. Yeah,
he's an actual model. you know, the eyes. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get what
I'm
the
putting Del Moss on my list.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with another guy from my season. I'm going to keep it season 13 strong. I'm going to go with Deanie Babies. Deanie Babies, those eyes. You know what I'm saying? He was the young up and comer on my season.
I think more than anything, Dean just has a certain, he has like a niche swag. Yeah. And I say niche specifically because like he's owned his demographic of swag. Like he's swagged out completely.
I mean, I see his posts. That dude is in like Afghanistan. He's like climbing Mount Everest. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's doing all kinds
he's living
of
his best
crazy adrenaline junkie adventures. And it's,
you know,
it's impressive. I got to give him props. Shout out to Dean out there.
I've never said this to Dean. I actually might have said it to Dean or Kaylin. I think I might have said it to her. I don't know. I don't know if I said this to him or not, but I guarantee you, I would love to go on like a Dean and I 1 week trip somewhere or like a double date trip somewhere because I know it's going to be amazing. I really feel that. But back to our list, right? So you got Dean. We both put Alex. I got Dale. It's on me. I'm going to have to give it a 6'8" Nate. From Michelle C.
6'8" Nate. Okay.
I'm gonna have to give it 6'8" Nate. He's a great looking guy.
Okay. I can see it. We always used to compare him to Chris Brown. He's got the Chris
he
Brown.
He is 100% the Costco Chris Brown. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. Okay. I mean, it just seems like this man is universally loved. He's got all the followers. He's got the most followers, I think, out of anybody.
You better take my person? No, you're not.
He was on your season. Tyler Cameron. All the ladies seem to love him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with Tyler Cameron.
He's a great guy.
Is that's four? Are we picking one more?
You just took my I was going to round it out. TC. All right, let me see. I'm going to have to go with my old roommate, Connor Saley.
That's a little bit of bias there.
I'm biased. That's my homie. I'm going to go with Connor Saley. I was going to pick Tyler. I think we have some pretty good looking guys in our season. Mateo. I don't know if you guys remember Mateo. Great guy.
Okay. Fantastic. So listen, hey, let's give a shout out to one of the OGs, Jesse Palmer, feller Gator out there. He's one good looking dude.
Jesse got swag too. Jesse is definitely charismatic. I see, like, Jesse's for sure charismatic.
There's a reason he's booked and busy.
You know what's funny? When you see Jesse, like, on Bachelor in Paradise hosting, and then you see him again on Saturday football. So crazy.
Like, the switch up, right?
Whoa, what's going on right now?
Paradise is about to change. And he's like, the X's and O's of football. But like, it's like totally different conversation. But he's a chameleon like that. I love it.
Dude, I would have given you... I think Eric Bigger from your season is a good looking
dude. Eric's a good looking dude. Eric is, I think he's the most positive and like uplifting, one of the most uplifting dudes I've ever been around. Like, his energy is just off the charts. Like, anybody would be lucky to be with Eric for sure.
Eric's a good one. So, who do I got to look at my list? I'm counting Tyler.
We combined our five, right?
We got like five and like a, you know, if someone got injured, we can have somebody else come in the game.
Somebody injured.
So we got seven. We got Tyler. We got Alex. We got Nate. We have Dale. You put Deanie Babies on there. Eric Bigger's on there. Yourself is on there.
I mean, shit. Why not just throw in all my entire top four? We'll throw Peter in there. Dean. We had a good looking crew.
Peter Cross or Peter Weber?
Cross. My season had a lot of good looking dudes. I think at the time we were like the tallest set of men. That may have been defeated in later seasons, but we had some tall guys.
I think my season might have beat you, bro.
Yeah?
Like, yeah.
Oh, you know what? Shout out to my guy. He didn't really make it too far on my season, but the man is he looks like a Ken doll. And he's another Greek statue like Alex. Brady Irving. Look him up. Brady Irving. We called him Brady the Body on our season. All the guys. It was like a universal name, Brady the Body, because the dude was so shredded.
I want to look this dude up. Brady Irving, let me see if I can find it. I need to look this. Brady Irwin or Irving?
Irvin.
Oh, Irvin.
I think it's E-R-V-I-N.
Or? Oh, yeah, it's with an E. Okay. You didn't say, that's my bad. See, this is why English is the hardest language, right? That's what some people say. Ah, Brady, I don't know you personally, so I can come for you, man. You are a good looking dude, but I'm giving you, you're giving me basic vanilla right now.
Really? I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, out of all the guys, there's just so much variety. Like, I feel
I can
like,
see why girls like him, though, for sure.
Yeah,
for
there's sure. like, I feel there's like niches, right?
Correct.
Like maybe take somebody like a Jacob. You know, same. Some women Brandon may not be Jones into the blonde guy with the man bun. That's like a particular look that women have.
Yes.
And then there's guys that are kind of like universally loved, right? I think correct. That's somebody think, like Alex.
I think Olu is in a niche. I think Brandon Jones is in a niche. I think Deanie Babies is in a niche. I think.
Can we talk about though? Like Olu, Alex, Tyler, like
yeah,
none of these women were going after him. I mean, they were like into their old connections back on the beach and
not all of them.
Tyler Norris, not Tyler Shanae. Cameron. Well, Shanae, yeah. Shanae.
Living her best life.
That's gonna be interesting when her and Logan reconnect because
I don't even think it's gonna be interesting. She knows who she likes.
She definitely likes Tyler and she made it clear.
She knows who she likes.
But does Tyler like her like that?
We don't know that. I, for one, don't think he does personally.
And Jill, you know, the CBK.
Poor baby Jill. I wanna just give her a hug.
She was the cock block kid. With that room.
Well, talking about cock blocking, we had Kira on, and I want to talk to the person who has the number one best name in Bachelor Nation, Romeo. I would love to talk about Romeo, the cock blocking, just the whole situation of what's going on.
We got to get this man to live up to that name though, because right now, I don't know. He's struggling a little bit.
Struggling. But before we, because y'all know, I am one to say how I feel and then also to
him.
Speak
You've
about
You've been on him a little bit.
I have 100%. I think it's well deserved. But also, I let people know how I feel. But before we even do that, I want to get to know the man, the myth, and legend for himself because he is a phenomenal human being. He is a tall, dark, and handsome, intelligent man. And let's just hear from him right now. Let's talk it out with Romeo.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome, Romeo. Thanks so much for being here, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you both. Yes. Good to see you again, Mike.
And great to see you again as well, man. This time, not in person, unfortunately, but
where did
still
you guys
always
meet?
Great to see you.
Where did you guys meet?
At the Ugly Duckling, which has become the spot for bachelor people in New York.
Interesting. That's interesting.
How do y'all do it, man? It's just too many bachelor people. It's like at least 40 bachelor people in New York. I think it's San Diego in New York.
Is that a thing? Yeah. Like y'all hang out at the same spot? Like, do you guys have like bachelor spots?
Yeah, the owner of that nightclub is friends with Tyler Cameron. And he like kind of knows a lot of people. So he's always inviting people in. And that's how I hung out with a lot of people. Actually, I hung out with Jill at that nightclub.
Interesting. We're going to get all into this.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for being here. I have been extremely critical of you, and I say whatever I say behind someone's back in their face. So I want to start it off with that. But then I don't want to spend too much time, and I want to get into knowing you deeper. But I have said, Romeo, I've been critical in saying, how can you have the world's most poetic name, but your game is not there?
I remember. I heard you say Romeo ain't Romeoing at one point.
I can see myself saying
that's fair.
That.
That's fair.
this is the big irony. At the core of it is you have to know my dad was a funk musician, and he's the one who came up with the name, and he really pushed it. Like my mom was the one who was like, "Oh, that's like, you know, too weird or too Shakespeare of a name." But my dad was very much in the phase of his life where he's like, we need like a good stage name for our child. He wanted to manifest things. You know, he really believed that names could lead to great things.
You are a great human being, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard to live up to, but yeah, you know, you get used to it.
did your dad live vicariously through you growing up? Kind of like he wanted you to maybe be a musician as well, or?
Yeah. So his name is Charles, but he quickly changed his name to Prince Charles. So now everyone calls him Prince Charles.
Oh, no, your dad's funny.
Prince of Romeo. Love it.
I get it already.
And he was like, I'm not going to give my son a boring name. He's going to be born with the cool name. So that's how it all happened. He's a professor now, and everybody calls him Prince Charles still. All the students do.
I think that your father should show up on Paradise at some point in time. That would be really cool.
Oh, he would love that.
That'd be really cool. But let's just go ahead and dive right into it. How are you doing after watching your time with Paradise so far?
Oh, I'm doing well. So Paradise is 4 months ago, but I've been kind of reliving it a lot. Seeing it on screen is really good to see other perspectives, other people talk about my actions, and really seeing what people were feeling. It's interesting seeing people's commentary too, and I kind of see this as outsourcing a lot of therapy just with millions of people. So I really appreciate
it. Save a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, I guess there are a lot of things that other people could see as embarrassing. People said it was cringe or that they had secondhand embarrassment. But for me, I actually wasn't embarrassed about my actions. I like went in knowing full well I was going to make mistakes, and I was just happy to learn. The thing that was just most painful was seeing just how much hurt I caused Jill. And it was even more painful there. I think we were spared a lot of it, but it was, this is the reason I was crying. I wasn't crying about myself. I wasn't crying because I was embarrassed.
Yeah. What was going on there? what brought on those tears?
I mean, I was crying because I hurt Jill, and I kept thinking about how Jill felt. And then the next step was that feeling of like, is this me? Is this all that I do? Like, I only hurt people. Is it impossible for me to find success in dating without hurting people? And then it just kind of triggered this weird, almost like it's like PTSD from like previous moments in my dating life. Like every argument I've ever had with a girlfriend just all bubbled up in that moment that I was crying on the beach.
What was something that we weren't able to see between you and Jill that, you know, helped spark the tears from you? I mean, by the way, it is definitely beautiful to see a man express his feelings, all of his feelings, for us to see. So that I definitely commend you for. Your game ain't all there, but it's all good.
I have comments about game. Return to that. Well, what was hard to see was just like how much of our relationship had developed, like over a year, how much of a friendship had developed too. And it's funny because I was shown saying the classic villain line, I'm not here to make friends, but really I was there to make friends. I like from the beginning of joining this franchise, I have been very appreciative of making all these friends. But what I didn't realize was making friends with women could be kind of tricky when you're also trying to date them.
We agree. We all agree there.
So I show up to the beach like as a genuine friend with many of them already, and I like want to see them succeed and do well. And then it hits me like some of them are going to be eliminated. So with Jill, it was just very difficult because I wanted to stay friends with her, but then I also realized that I didn't want to date her anymore. But I wanted her to stay on and succeed. So a lot of the stuff that was going on where I was crying and I was like trying to talk to her, like some people saw it as me trying to rekindle romance or like beg for a rose. But a big part of it was just like trying to salvage the friendship.
I mean, I can completely see that, honestly. I think are we going to say, Brian? I'm glad that you said that because that perspective to me makes sense.
I guess for me, it was like you told Kira that you wanted to pursue Jill. You were pursuing Jill. And then it seemed like at the 11th hour, you wanted something with Brittany. She curved you, which was,
Brian, I forgot about
I'm
that.
I'm not going to lie. Brittany swerving you was kind of hilarious. Not going to lie. It was a TV moment. But what were you thinking? What were you thinking? I feel like you and Jill had a good thing at that point, and then you just went for Brittany. Yeah. What was going through your head at that time?
Yeah, I, well, you know, the show isn't able to show every conversation, but I have been talking to other women on the beach.
Okay.
Talked to Haley, talked to Brittany. That morning of day two, I had a great breakfast with Brittany, and we kind of started connecting over like shared interests, music and concerts. So I was already starting to get a little confused, and I was like, oh no, like I already told everybody that I'm trying to pursue Jill, but really I'm not ready to do that. There are all these other women that I didn't have time to talk to anybody on day one because I was dealing with Jill and Kira. I didn't even realize that Brittany was there on the beach. So yeah, like day one, I was like really preoccupied with a lot of drama. And then day two, I was like, okay, so what am I doing? Am I really like, going to stick to my word that I said on day one? How am I going to get out of this? Yeah, so I saw that there were hesitations there. And then the next big decision was, do I basically sit down with Jill and tell her how I feel, which is what I should have done? Or should I try to continue exploring on my own and then talk to Jill later? And looking back on it, yeah, I really regret having been shady and leading Jill on and lying to her and just making everything worse.
Gotcha. I got a question.
Yeah.
The whole, can you just give us the backstory? Because we actually heard this from Kira last week,
yeah,
or a couple weeks ago. And we like paint the picture for us. What was going on with Jill and Kira in New York? Like, explain that dynamic.
So, I was very eager to meet anybody in Bachelor Nation. I was in New York, I work a lot, and I was like, oh, it'd be great to meet people. I knew that a lot of the girls were filming for Clayton's season, but as a lot of them were like leaving the bubble, I kind of got in touch with a few. Kira, we had a natural connection because we both went to Harvard, so she was very interested in meeting up. So we met up and had lunch, and it was one of those situations where I thought we were just like meeting as like potential friends. Looking back on it, I'm like, I realized it was an ambiguous, like, is this a date?
I've been there.
But then later that same day, then Kira was like, okay, Romeo's cool. And then she invited me to meet other girls from Clayton's season at Soho House on the West Side. So it was me, Kira, Jill, Tessa, and eventually Daria. And then it was fun at first because we were just bonding over having, you know, done the Bachelor or Bachelorette. And then eventually later at night, I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of like a group date. I didn't
and you're, want the, ba- this and you're to the bachelor.
And I was the bachelor all of a sudden. I was like, okay, well, this is, I was like, let's not, you know, get too weird about it. But it did get a little weird because, like, at the end of the night, you know, some of the girls were like, all right, so who are you interested in? Mm-hmm. And instead of being like, well, you know, I don't know, I just met everybody, I did say, I said the truth, which was that I was interested in Jill. And that, you know, that was the first day that I met all of these girls. And then from that point forward, you know, Jill and I, we start talking a lot on the phone, and we had like long conversations, like an hour, 2 hours. And it still felt like it was like friendly, but also very emotional. And just about like dating and about the franchise. And we did get dinner and go out one time, and we went to Ugly Duckling, and Rodney showed up there too. Nice. But nothing really came of it. It was
how many times did y'all hung out?
We hung out. I feel like it's only two or three times.
Okay. Were you guys intimate, or was this more like on a friendship level?
It was a friendship level.
Got it. Okay.
But with like some flirtation, but something like, okay, well, maybe one day if we're like in the same city or we see each other more, we can pursue something.
Any pets? More.
No kisses.
Between Jill or Kira prior to going on the show?
Yes, no, there was a kiss with Kira.
Kira, yes. So that, we know about that because she mentioned that, yes.
So that was the day of Clayton's premiere. Kira had a premiere party, and her and some of the girls, I was there. And then we went out to a nightclub later, and we danced. Kira and I had a good time, and we kissed.
Was Jill there?
Jill was not there, but... Okay. We had kind of gotten into this pattern where, like, Jill and I were talking every other day or so, or, like, at least checking in on weekends. So when I didn't talk to her for, like, 3 days straight, it was noticeable. And she knew that Kira was going to be in the city. Mm. So then the next time we talked, it took us an hour for us to finally get to the topic of, so what did you do?
Would you say at that point in time that Jill asked that question that you guys were considered talking, air quotes?
Talking. That's a tough, I don't know how to define these things.
How do you define it?
I think, yeah, I mean, we... Oh man, I really don't know.
Sounds to me like you guys were in the friend zone. I mean,
Brian, that's what I'm trying to get like his thoughts on, because I feel, and Romeo, please by all means tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of hard because just in general, for some people, no matter what your sex is, you might go into a situation strictly trying to get to know an individual, whether you're sexually attracted or not. And it seems like you may have a hard time deciphering between, hey, we're just friends, or do I want to pursue something? And then you kind of ask the question of, well, who do you like? And that's where it seems like a lot of this stemmed from. And then then you have trouble deciphering that. How would you say to that?
Yeah. I forgot to mention, I actually did try to kiss Jill in the club and she swerved me. So she threw a Britney.
You and getting swerved. Romeo, man, what's going on here, bro?
We need to go out, man.
I know. But it was a, like, you know, I'm not ready now, but maybe in the future. So it was.
Damn, Romeo.
We were talking, but at that point, I guess I wasn't really quite clear. I felt like I was single, you know, I wanted to explore different things. But you know, since Jill and Kira were friends, Jill definitely felt betrayed, and she didn't like, you know, the dishonesty, and I felt bad about that as well.
Are they friends or are they acquaintances? Because the way that Kira acted towards Jill didn't come across as friendly. It came across as acquaintances.
They were enemies.
But it seemed like they're acquaintances, because I'm not friends with every single person in Bachelor Nation. I have love for pretty much everyone, but I'm not like, I don't hit y'all up every day, you know?
Yeah. I think there's something that happens in the afterglow of doing one of the shows where you think you're best friends with like almost everybody on the show.
Yeah.
So I think the girls were a little bit in that state at that point when I was meeting them in New York, from the way they talk about it and the way it went down on the beach. I think Jill's and Kira's friendship kind of dissolved, especially after I kissed Kira. And then I like stopped talking to Jill for a little bit. I mean, we were like still somewhat friendly, but it definitely like it wasn't every other day anymore. I didn't even know that she was going to be in Paradise. Like, we had talked just enough where I knew that she wasn't sure, she was hesitant.
How long prior to going to Paradise was this? Was the dismissal of y'all's situationship?
That was Clayton's premiere, which was January, I believe.
That was the kiss.
That was the kiss
with Kira.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kiss with Kira was January. I met them all around Halloween.
Okay.
And then things were kind of fuzzy, I think, by the spring. A lot of it kind of felt like it was in the rearview mirror, and I wasn't really like talking to or hanging out with either Jill or Kira. It was very much that was like in the past.
So the kiss was just a kiss. Nothing led to anything. That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, were you, it sounds like you were taken aback when you guys go to the beach and you're getting all this, like, what's the deal? Like, we could have been talking prior to. Is that how your brain is thinking of it?
I know that the beach is a place where things can get intense and hot. So I'm like, I wasn't surprised to find myself in a difficult situation.
I
knew that, like, this was paradise is the place where, you know, you have to handle this stuff. So I was happy that, like, I was able to be clear with Kira and be like, okay, no, like, I'm interested in Jill. I really was at that point interested in kind of going a little further with Jill, because we had only really spent a lot of time on the phone. And there was that one night, you know, in the club where she swerved me, but I wanted to, like, explore things a little more. I think, you know, Jill is really funny and really smart, and we had connected.
While you were there, you felt that connection dissipate, and then you wanted to say, hey, you know, Brittany, you are a little cutie.
Yeah, like, what happened?
We're trying to just genuinely understand how you're
what was the breakdown there?
Yeah, what happened in 24 hours?
Yeah, like,
I felt like I kind of, in that first day, I felt kind of rushed a little bit into a situation by the mere fact that there was a triangle. Like, if Kira had not been there, like, interrupting us while I was with Jill, I may not have been so clear. Like, I wouldn't necessarily have told Kira, you know, I need you to back off, I'm pursuing Jill.
I wanted you to say that so bad. I wanted you to just, when it was just you and Jill and Kira came over, I was rooting for you. I don't know if you know that Tyra Banks. We were all rooting for you.
Yeah.
I was doing that, like, watching the screen. Like, I wanted Romeo to have his BDE moment, big dick energy moment, and be like, yo, Kira, I like you as a friend. I'm trying to talk to Jill. That would have shut it down right then and there.
But you know what, Mike? Like we spoke about, I think he did it right. You sent Jill away. You had your conversation with
you
Kira. I think that was a more respectful
way to do it. Let's talk to the man himself. Romeo, do you have any regrets?
Yeah, what do you think?
I am happy that I did, like, you know, tell Kira what was on my mind. I have regrets? Looking back, they were definitely showing me, like, sighing a lot and being passive and, like, looking from my back and just kind of being bemused and not really inserting myself. I was, like, uncertain. I regret just not being more sure, not really spending a lot more time thinking about what I wanted. I think going back, I would have gone in and told both Kira and Jill, I need more time. And, like, I don't want to rush anything right now. If anything, I kind of felt bad shutting Kira down.
That's what I'm picking up.
Like I could have at the very least, you know, had some conversations with Kira, and because that's one reason why later I was, like, kind of crying when I saw Kira, because I was like, I didn't even give you a chance. I'm sorry if I'm sounding incoherent here. This triangle was a tricky thing, and as much as I, like, was proud of myself for on that day one being like, no, I want to pursue Jill, in retrospect, I realized, especially after all the other stuff I did, that was a mistake. I really should have held back a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying. I'm sure that Kira and Jill feel that way as well. I think what it boils down to is that you are someone who doesn't know how to turn someone down respectfully.
Yes. And so that goes back to that issue of having game or not. Yes, I broadly agree. Okay, I don't have good game, but I realize that a big part of having game is knowing how to say no, rejecting people. I was really impressed when I saw, both on the beach and then looking back on it on TV, the way that other men turned women down. Like, there's that kind of funny moment.
Whose skills in that department did you admire on the beach?
So as awkward as it looked, when Haley is trying to flirt with Logan, And Logan just looks straight on. And Haley's like, oh, maybe, you know, we'll talk later tonight. And Logan's like, oh, maybe. And like, maybe not. Just doesn't give her anything. It feels cruel in that moment. But in the end, it ends up being the nicest thing. Like, if I were in his position, Logan's place, I would be smiling, laughing, and like trying to be a friend and trying to make the person happy. And then before I know it, I'm like in another situation where I'm like trying to manage something, like,
for sure,
and
for sure,
and let someone down. Johnny was another person who was very cool, and
with Lace. Like,
no, Johnny with Victoria.
Victoria,
okay.
Johnny knows how to stay cool, right? And he could be nice, he could be friendly, but he you know, protects his energy, and he makes sure that he's not leading anybody on.
We just saw in the most recent episode how Andrew S. handled the situation with Yesenia at first. First, I'll say that. But I want to get back to Kira, man. So
yeah.
She said that you guys met at Harvard. Is that true?
I actually don't remember her at Harvard. She says that she knew of me at Harvard. Yeah. I don't think we actually met in person, unless it was in the cafeteria. It's a big school, 1,600 people in each class. And we also studied different things. But it's a remarkable coincidence. And I wish I had met her back then.
Awesome coincidence, honestly. I want to get into that. You said you were talking about school and class. You know, we came across a pretty wild article about you on Reddit entitled My College Roommate, the smartest person I've ever met is making absurd decisions on Bachelor in Paradise. Have you read this article?
Yeah. By Francis Ellis. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yes.
He's an awesome guy. He played lacrosse. I guess he works at Barstool now. And he said that, like, I took this advanced math class.
Math 55, yeah. Yes.
What the hell is that, bro? Tell us, because I don't even think Francis knows what that is. So can we hear it from the horse's mouth, please?
So Math 55 is the hardest math class at Harvard. So it has this legendary status as being the hardest math class in the country. Now, for the record, I only took it for a couple of weeks. And then I dropped down to the second hardest math class at Harvard. It's still hard. And it's just like a class that is... So it's very abstract and difficult, and you're proving theorems, and you're competing with child prodigies that are going to be future mathematicians. And actually, the class I ended up taking, Math 25, second hardest class, some of the people I met there are the founders of the company I work at, and there are a lot of engineers there. So it's one of those classes where you kind of can also connect and network with, like, future business leaders in the tech world.
I can see that. Speaking of Harvard, I mean, and, you know, going back to the whole game topic, like, what was dating like in Harvard? Like, I'm just curious. Like, it's because it seems like, you know, the person that wrote the article about you was like, you slept in the library, like, you ate, drank, and slept, you know, your studies. Was there a time to
wake up 6 a.m.?
Harvard, I mean, there were people who took care of their social life, but I would say on average, it wasn't the top priority for most people. Ironically, like, I chose to go to Harvard because I thought it would have a better social life than, say, MIT. That's where the real nerds go, but just at least in terms of engineering. Harvard at least has a football team. But, when I got there, I kind of got sucked into this world of doing a lot of math and physics and computer science. And the culture was very much one of just studying all the time and doing problem sets in the library.
Assuming you got into MIT too?
What about MIT?
I'm assuming you got into MIT as well?
No, I didn't apply, but maybe it's presumptuous of me to think that I would have gotten in.
I think everyone knows you would have gotten into MIT. You're just being a really nice guy.
That year was there was early admissions, so I got into Harvard and then didn't bother applying afterwards.
I don't want to undershadow what Brian just said. I thought it was hilarious. Say that again, Brian.
Say that.
So you didn't take any like chemistry with the ladies, nothing.
No, I mean, it's I took non-Euclidean geometry, which I guess didn't quite apply to the geometry and triangles on the beach. Chemistry, no, I never liked chemistry.
Was Harvard like your dream school? What was your dream school?
Yeah, it was definitely a dream school, along with MIT, you know. Okay. So then, and also my dad's from Boston, so I always wanted to be up there.
Who was Romeo in like school? Were you always like the super smart guy, not really the social guy? Like, what? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, yes, I've always been like socially awkward and a bit of a nerd and all that, but there was always this kind of duality. I mean, I played football in high school, but I played for one of the nerdiest schools in the city. And I also had like dreadlocks that came down to my shoulder for like 4 years. So I like, on the surface, I looked cool. And like, my dad was a musician. My parents were cool. My parents were much cooler than me. My dad worked with Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls. And I met all these rappers growing up in New York. I was around people my whole life. It's like, I saw that and I was like, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going just like buckle down and study.
It's good.
So, I mean, man, you played football. You're a big guy. You're jacked. You're a good looking dude. Like, did women just come up to you? Like, did women step to you? Because obviously it seems like you were wrapped up in your studies, but
tall, dark, handsome, and intelligent.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like on the surface, it seems like you would be like the best catch for anybody. So, you know, the women flock to you. What was dating like in your younger years and like being in college?
I guess it's like yes and no. Like I've been in like three longish serious relationships, and one of them was 6 years. But being in relationships doesn't mean you're necessarily good at dating. I don't really think I had like a lot of good dating experience. And when I did date, it was, I'd say yes, I was kind of passive. I mean, looking back on it, and I'm not saying this as a flex or bragging, but I definitely did fall into a pattern of kind of letting, you know, people come to me, you know, people are asking me out on dates and I'm accepting. I never really got into that like aggressive pursuit mode.
Gotcha. I, for one, going back to what you had said about you being awkward, and I think you know me to be very honest about how I feel, whether it's rude or not rude. I didn't see you as, or I didn't get a feeling that you were weird whatsoever. I didn't think that at all about you. I thought that you were just a cool guy, tall, dark, handsome, intelligent. That was my honest thoughts of you.
I don't think you're awkward
whatsoever.
It's been a lot of growth and change over the past few years, but I appreciate that.
No, seriously, and you know I'll tell you. So, you know, tell us, like, I just want to know, back to you in college, man, back to you at Harvard. You said girls will come up to you. You were just, it seems like, well, my mom would say probably if me and you were brothers, the good kid, right? Like, that did the things that he was supposed to do. Is that so? Well, tell us.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing that would happen a lot was like mothers coming up to me and saying, oh, you would be great for my daughter, right?
Can so see that.
Parents.
But then there was this weird thing where I was like very jealous of the guys who I felt had game, who were pursuing people who seemed like they had a little bit of an edge. They were the bad guys and they were getting like the bad girls. And I was, I was just like the good kid, good grades. And I would get along with everyone's mother. So it kind of took a toll on me.
I mean,
that could go more than
one way.
Oh, man. So what can you explain what a professional mathematician is and does, please? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, one way of defining it is just someone who has a PhD, so is trained to do research. And that means someone who will, there are theoretical mathematicians who focus on proving theorems and discovering new algorithms. And then there are applied mathematicians who apply that to solving concrete problems. in my PhD, I was focusing on forecasting the climate, very much related to climate change issues. Right now I'm in finance, and I'm focusing on predicting fraud and also assessing the riskiness of customers who are trying to apply for a loan or a line of credit. And I'd say nowadays, like most mathematicians that I know just work with computers and they really focus on building algorithms and doing machine learning and all the stuff that powers, the Zoom and Instagram and all the wonderful things we have.
Quick question about that. That's so off topic, but I have to ask because it's also on topic. What do you feel about AI? Are you scared of AI?
No.
Are we in trouble? Are we in trouble, Romeo?
I'm definitely a tech optimist. I love AI. I think it's really cool. A lot of the stuff that's coming out, like OpenAI DALL-E, is a lot of fun to look at. What I'm more scared of, I guess, is the way that bad actors and bad governments can use this and weaponize it to destroy democracy.
So do you predict with AI the capabilities that us as humans have, what some of us are positive, some of us are negative, like can you predict how to prevent stuff like that from someone that has all the money, all the power to do something negative with AI?
Oh yeah, these are hard problems. There's definitely a big social aspect where we don't want these things falling into the wrong hands. Unfortunately, I don't really think there's anything we could do. It's like scientists are always going to be innovating and discovering. And if we're not doing it, the bad guys are going to do it. So we might as well know how to do it so that we can beat them. It is a bit of an arms race. That part is scary.
Correct.
Yeah.
And what did your?
Sorry, this is a heavy topic.
No, it is. Let's go back to bachelor stuff.
Yeah, like what did your mathematician colleagues think of you going on the show? I mean, obviously somebody wrote a damn article about you, so they were shocked. But like, what did everybody else say?
I think they were all very excited. There was just so much novelty to it, too. They didn't really know anybody else in mathematics. Done this. I think the closest is this guy named Cameron from Love is Blind, who's a data scientist. But other than him, Cameron's I didn't know cool anyone people. Else. Oh, yeah, you know?
Yes, Cameron is cool people. I like him a lot.
And then there's a guy named like Venmo John.
He was on the Beaches of Paradise a couple seasons
ago. Oh, yeah. So there were like a few people like that. And then I guess there's Bennett went to Harvard. He was not a mathematician technical person, but he was the only other like Harvard person I knew. But my mathematician friends, they thought this was really cool. So, and I also feel fortunate that I'm in an industry, tech industry is very young, and creativity and eccentricity is valued, much more so than like a traditional, kind of workplace.
So in terms of, calculating these different things that you guys do, that's so much above me. Did they work out the odds of you getting a final rose?
They probably built something that could calculate it faster than I did on the beach in that last moment with Kira.
That would be like the nerdiest, coolest thing to ever see. It would be so awesome to watch.
That's interesting.
So speaking of Kira, I mean, a lot of jokes were made. She comes onto the beach. She comes back onto the beach. Things didn't work out with the other person. You guys run into each other and she asks you to leave the beach with her. Why the hesitation? Or was that an editing trick? Because it seemed like you
took
forever.
No, that cannot
forever.
Be an editing trick. That
cannot it be. Was not, it was not editing. That was all me. They showed the whole thing.
Ooh. Oh, man. So it really took you that long to think about it.
There was a lot to think about.
us that. What was going through your mind? Because I see so many memes about what you were thinking. It's like, wait, could I get a rose from somebody else? Should I leave with Kieran Safe Face right now?
He was
now?
Calculating like, all the possible odds. Yeah.
He was doing the math in his head.
Well, I mean, there was... I've been for several days already kind of living with the regret of having made such hasty decisions. And being too quick and impulsive and overcommitting. So I was afraid to make another mistake like that. And I was like, what if I say yes and I leave with Kira and then I do something stupid again? So that was definitely part of it. And then also just like that whole time, I knew that like the odds were not in my favor. But I had kind of adopted this kind of fighter's mentality. I was like, I need to fight and see like what's going to happen. You never know. There are miracles. And I realize now that Kira coming down on the beach was a miracle. But I had a really hard time like fully appreciating what this was, because she had just talked to Jacob before. Mm-hmm. So there was like a part of me that was like still a little scared of her or like unsure of her motivations. So, you know, that slowed me down a little bit too.
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
I mean, Kira's awesome. She's, you know, obviously very smart and very funny. And yes. And then eventually when we left the cameras and we went in the car and we had a lot of fun. We really bonded in a way that, like on the beach, I think I was just still really nervous. I was like, what is she doing? Is she like just trying to stir drama? Is she like trying to get back at Jill or something?
So where are y'all at now?
Yeah, so I guess a lot of people want to know. Well, you'll have to stay tuned and find out.
Well, I mean, we did just see this TikTok of the two of you
being playful.
So that was kind of funny.
It was hilarious.
And we had a lot of fun together.
She's got a sense of humor, that Kira.
She definitely does. You got to love that about her for sure. She definitely has a sense of humor. Did you enjoy your experience on Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it didn't look like it when I was in tears in the water. I loved all the memes making fun of how I looked like I was in a music video or something, like when I was like, it looked like I was dancing on the beach. Yeah, that was like a low moment for sure. But even those moments, I appreciate. I learned a lot from it. I feel like I grew. But aside from that, there are definitely like a lot of really funny moments and I made some good friends.
You know, some birdies told us that you may or not be a pro at sliding DMs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you a DM slider, Romeo?
DM slider.
He's thinking, which ones do they think? Which ones are they talking about?
You see, okay. I think I know what you're getting at. Yes, I DM people. But see, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm just DMing people because I want to meet people and be friendly with them. But I'm real. I understand now that people think I'm like trying to spit game or trying to flirt with them. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like all over the place because then everybody talks to each other. So I already had a messy reputation going into the beach.
No, that's it. Again, I love your response. I used to, I don't do it no more kind of because of the same reason. I used to, all the people that I follow, all the ladies, I would comment on their posts, like their posts.
Yeah.
And now I barely comment on 90 probably percent of the women's pages. I just ghost follow, which pisses me off because you automatically are like, oh my God, are they dating? Are they talking? He must like, does he like me? Does he not like me? It's like, I follow you. Let me be nice to you. I think that's how your brain is looking at it. Like, I follow you. Let me network with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like a weird moment. I like put 3 flame emojis on Kelly Flanagan's.
Okay, that's different, picture. Man. That is different. You hollering when you do that, bro.
I see that now. I mean, I was like, oh, it's a nice picture. I like people kind of put themselves out there. You know, it's not easy to take a photo. They
just
want.
Just give it a little like. That's it. Just like it.
Was this recent? Keep it moving. Was this recent?
No. Oh, no. That was like a week or two after I left Michelle's season last year.
Oh, no.
So it was highly looked at like you were trying to holler.
Had you even been kicked off the show like on air? Is that how we're like, had you even gone home at that point and you were already sliding in DMs?
Or I commenting? Don't think so. No. It was before the show had even aired.
Oh, gee, worse. Yeah. But,
I was new to this. I just downloaded Instagram like 2019. I don't know what the first thing.
No, that's fair, man. So with that being said, what advice do you have for new contestants coming behind you? What would you say to them?
Well, part of me wants to say, don't talk to anybody, follow Brandon's advice. But I think that's unrealistic. And also, like, there's no guarantee that you would go to paradise. I'm like, why wait? I think it's totally fine talking to people. The more important advice is not leading people on, and, you know, knowing when to say no. And yeah, just don't leave things ambiguous. I think part of the mistake was, you know, kind of talking to people and being like, well, there's kind of something there, but we'll explore it later. That vagueness just kind of grows, and then kind of clears in a different direction.
Like, we'll, it's something there, but we'll talk about it later. Man, before we let you go, I feel that you are a man of immense knowledge. And by the way, I think you're the coolest mathematician. I'm like, probably fact. What is your gem for us all?
Oh, gem. Well, I actually don't have a wise gem. I have more of like a funny gem story. Yeah. Oh, it's about the dog on the beach that Kira was shown kind of flirting with at one point. I was so surprised when all of the staff at the resort kept telling me that the dog's name was Romeo. I was like, that's crazy. I thought maybe they were making fun of me, you know, trying to say that, like, you know, I was being a dog or something. Like, every time I would go to order a taco or something, they were all giggling and like the dog was going around. I found out just recently, actually just today, that, you know, Kira called the dog Nacho on the show. It turns out that she was so upset at me that she refused to say the name Romeo. So she renamed the dog Nacho. But actually, the dog's name really was Romeo the whole time. Romeo. And it was just like this incredible coincidence. So, like, my gem is this story about the dog. It's just like the cherry on top. Like, yeah. I was found myself in a chaotic situation, and I'm glad that I had, like, I was able to have fun with the staff, and they were like kind of teasing me a little bit. And that, yeah, I've kind of missed that dog now.
Oh, Romeo's out there somewhere. Romeo.
Yeah. Chihuahua Romeo.
Chihuahua Romeo. Will we see you on our screens again in the future? Is that something that you are not completely closed on that door, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, the way I was acting a fool,
Hey, there's a redemption arc that could possibly happen.
Listen, I feel like Romeo is now going to acquire this game.
Oh, no. Hey, Brian, I think I
come
might
back a changed man.
Look, okay, can you teach me?
Romeo. Let's go. I'm not saying I'm not the guy of game. I'm not saying that, okay?
No.
But what I am saying is that let me be a big brother for a good weekend, bro. Let me be a big brother for a weekend.
He'll get you right. Romeo.
I would appreciate that.
You got to come to Austin. I'm a little bit scared to go to New York right now for personal reasons. But come to Austin, homie. Yeah. I will take you on a boat. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, that's definitely the first step. I need to, you know, get things right, level up my game,
I do love your communication. I do love your confidence. I must say, I mean, you're tall, dark, handsome. You're super intelligent. you got the on paper. You're like the Dallas Cowboys, bro. Like, you got it going on.
It's like the missing piece of the puzzle, like to make like the.
You really you know, do the nice perfect, smile, like
the perfect specimen right here.
Really, but Romeo, we're not going to, you know, bloviate too much longer, but definitely appreciate you having you on. When I was thinking about Romeo, I was thinking, man, men and women both, I'm not coming at one gender. We say, oh, we want someone that's, you know, a nice person, that's loyal. We know the adjectives everyone says, but that's not true. There's so much more that we want in a person. We want them to be sexually attractive. We want them to have some game. We want them to be sought after in some regard by somebody else. Like, because Romeo is a fantastic guy. Now, does he have some issues when it comes to like saying no? Absolutely. And he's said it, he's admitted it. But I just think, like, in dating culture, we want more than what we're really saying.
Do you think we want more than
what we're saying? For sure. Like,
Standards are high. Standards are high, for sure.
Standards are high. And I think that when you come off of a show like The Bachelor, men and women both, again, it's like, man, your pool's selection of human beings has opened up. And it,
yeah,
gross. Like, your standards does go up, for sure.
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's you know, status and clout. You know, everybody wants to be around you now. So I totally get it. I'm not single, so luckily I don't have to deal with that. I feel for you, man. I'm telling you, you know, the single people in Bachelor Nation dating out there in the real world, I'm sure it's tough. If you really want to find something special, if you want to mess around, you know, probably a little easier than it was before, but you know, to find somebody who's like really into you for you. And, you know, I can imagine that's, you know, you got to tread lightly because people don't always have the best intentions.
Or like Z-list celebrities, bro. It's not that bad.
Definitely more so than before, right?
For sure.
Now you're MF and Mike Johnson from The Bachelor.
No, I've always been MF and Mike Johnson. You feel me? That's just an understood thing. You can add The Bachelor on there now. But
yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, man, Romeo is a good guy. I feel like he has good intentions. He just
great intentions does not
execute. He got caught up really early in a love triangle, and it just ate him up. Yeah. It just ate him up, and he didn't know what to do.
It definitely did.
You know, hopefully he'll get his redemption arc, like you mentioned on the next Paradise. If him and Kier aren't together, we don't know. I guess we'll find out. But yeah, I really had a good time listening to him break everything down, and I hope you guys did too. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode, everyone.
Oh, definitely so. And from what Brian and I was discussing earlier, I cannot wait to see all of you guys post who your five guys that you would say, five hottest guys. I think it's pretty fun to do to all my fellow Bachelor Nation alums.
I feel like
I'm telling you, man, Alex is going to be – it'll be Alex and TC. Even though I think Dale should deserve to be up there, I think it'll be Alex and TC. But, you know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, your insight. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow. Cannot wait to see what you guys have to say. Follow us on Talking It Out, B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG. And as always, baby, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And, baby, don't DM Romeo no more until you hit the subscribe. We love y'all.